What's your mindset? What motivates you? What drives you? What is it that shapes your attitudes and beliefs? What determines the choices you make? What dominates your thoughts? What is it that sets the direction of your life? Do you think in the same way as the other people all around you? Do you base your decisions and choices on the same values they do? Do the same things that matter to them, are they the things that really matter to you? Do you have the mindset of the flesh, or do you have the mindset of the spirit? Setting himself up as an example has drawn our attention to a problem every Christian battles with. Here's how he summed it up. Chapter 7, verse 25. With the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. My spirit, the inner man, the born again me, my mind loves God and wants more than anything to live according to his law. But the flesh, my body, that old sinful nature that I'm stuck with for now, wants to sin. It's a given, it's a law. The flesh always wants to sin. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? That's our problem, and Paul has told us where the answer is to be found. I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the answer. And now in Romans chapter 8, he's telling us how, in what way Jesus is the answer. It's not an easy thing to explain or to understand, so we're taking our time with Paul's answer because there's some tight reasoning involved here. Last week we looked at just the first four verses of Romans chapter 8. They didn't give us Paul's whole answer to the question. This was just the start of it. And he told us, we're in Christ and we're forgiven. There is no condemnation. Praise God, there is no condemnation. But that's not the whole story. There's more. Not only are we forgiven, but we've been changed. Now the Spirit, the new born again us, the Spirit is overcoming the flesh. We have been changed and we're changing, still changing. He told us God sent Jesus into the world to be our representative, and he didn't just do that so that we could be forgiven. He did it so that we would be able to change, so that we would become more and more like him. God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh so that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Forgiven, changed, and changing. Because of what Jesus did when God sent him to be our representative. And that's where we left it last Sunday. And now Paul is going to build on that. So let's read those verses together. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 to 8. I'm going to start to read from the middle of verse 3. God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh so that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, I said there's some tight reasoning in these verses, and what I mean by that is that in this passage there is a series of thoughts, and all of those thoughts are linked together, and each one builds a little bit on the previous one. So Paul moves us in logical steps, step by step, from one thought to the next until he reaches his conclusion. And there are two things you should remember as we follow Paul's line of reasoning here. First of all, you've really got to pay attention to every point. If you miss one, you're going to lose the thread and you'll probably get confused. So you're going to need to concentrate, so don't blink. Second, you need to pay attention to how Paul links those thoughts to one another. You need, as we did last week, to pay special attention to the joining up words. Therefore, but, and, so, because, for. It's always important to do that when you study the Bible, but it's especially important when you come to a passage like this. There are a lot of fours in these verses, so watch out for them. And verse 5 actually starts with the word for, and that tells us that what we're going to learn this week is the reason for what we learned last week. Verses 3 and 4 said, God sent Jesus to condemn sin in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. God sent Jesus to condemn sin so that we could be changed, so that we would become more like him. And now Paul is going to tell us why God sent Jesus to do that. He's going to tell us why sin had to be condemned so that we could be changed. And here's where he starts. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Christians are supernatural beings, you know. I'm not talking about superpowers or miracles. I'm talking about the things that are important to us. What is it that motivates us? What is it that guides us through life? Well, Paul has told us already in verse 4, he says, we do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We walk according to the Spirit. We're guided and we're led by spiritual values. We're led by the Word of God. Our values are the values of God's kingdom. Our values are the things that please God. Those are the things we value. The Spirit, our born-again nature, indwelt and directed and empowered by God's Holy Spirit, rules us and takes the lead in our lives. We do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We're not controlled like other people by the flesh. We're not controlled by the natural desires and instincts that everybody else is led by. That's what I mean when I say that we are supernatural beings. We do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And then in verse 5, Paul takes us a step further along that line of thinking. We do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, because we think about different things and we think in a different way. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. We have a different mindset. The word Paul uses for this apparently is a hard one to translate into English. It means more than just that we think different thoughts. It's about our whole disposition, our fundamental orientation or values. It's about the convictions and heart attitudes that steer the course of our lives. Are you getting the idea here? Those of us who are Christians have a spiritual mindset, is how you could put it. Our minds are dominated by spiritual things, and so our lives are ruled by spiritual things, not by the things of the flesh. So we're supernatural beings. We're led by the Spirit, because our minds are set on the things of the Spirit, and the way we live reflects the way we think. So, fitting verse 5 into Paul's line of reasoning. Jesus came to condemn sin in the flesh so that we could be changed. For, because those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on the things of the Spirit. Verse 6 now, and there's another 4 here. Verse 6 is building on verse 5. For, because to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded is the same thing as to have a mind that's set on the things of the flesh. That's what it means to be carnally minded. If you remember, I said a couple of weeks back that the word translated flesh and the word translated carnal are basically the same word. To have a mind set on the things of the flesh, Paul says, is death. Now, I think we need to break off from Paul's line of reasoning for a minute here so we can be clear what he means by being carnally minded or having a mindset on the things of the flesh. What Paul has in mind here is not being set on open immorality or gross sin. That's not what he's thinking about, though those things would be included, but it's not the whole picture. He's talking just about the kind of thinking that leaves God out of the picture. That's what it is to be carnally minded, to think in a way that leaves God out of the picture. Natural thinking, thinking the way unsaved people think, thinking the way the whole world all around you thinks. Do you remember the time Jesus rebuked Peter at Caesarea Philippi? Jesus told his disciples, "I'm going to be killed," and Peter said, "No way, Lord, that's never going to happen to you." Do you remember Jesus' reply? He said, "You are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." You are carnally minded, Peter. What Peter said wasn't something that was out and out evil. He just wasn't thinking in the right way. He was looking at things from a purely human point of view. He wasn't thinking like a spiritual man. So to be carnally minded is to think in a way that doesn't take God and his word into account. It's a way of thinking that sees things in only natural terms. It's a way of thinking that isn't shaped by God's word or influenced by God's Spirit. So now that we know what it means to be carnally minded, back to verse 6. To be carnally minded is death. Now, don't go adding words. It doesn't say that to be carnally minded leads to death or that to be carnally minded ends in death. It says to be carnally minded is death. When you're carnally minded, when you have your mind set on the things of the flesh, that's death. You're cut off from life and from God. Now, you know it from your experience. You know those times when you're thinking in a carnal way. God doesn't enter your thoughts. And at those times, God seems distant and you feel spiritually dead, and those are the times when you're very likely to drift into sin. And if you go on being carnally minded, well, it leads you into sin and into more sin. And Paul tells us in Galatians 5 what kinds of sins it can lead to. The works of the flesh are evident: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Now, there's some big, gross sins in there. You notice too, includes things like jealousy and angry outbursts and falling out with people. The kind of sins we all hate in ourselves and struggle with. But to be spiritually minded, on the other hand, when your mind is set on the things of the Spirit, and especially when you walk, when you live in the light of spiritual thinking, aren't those the times when you feel most alive? When you feel closest to God? Most joyful? Aren't those the times when you most enjoy the peace of God? It's like Paul says again in Galatians 5, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So, Let's add that thought into Paul's line of reasoning. Jesus came to condemn sin so that we could be changed, because those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the things of the flesh, and those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on the things of the Spirit, and a mind that's set on the things of the flesh is death, but a mind that's set on the things of the Spirit is life and peace. Because, verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. To think in a carnal way is to be an enemy of God. Because if you think in a carnal way, you'll not be subject to God's law. And if you think in a carnal way, you cannot be subject to God's law. So, here we go again. Jesus came to condemn sin so that we could be changed. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit, their minds set on the things of the Spirit. And a mind set on the things of the flesh is death, but a mind set on the things of the Spirit is life and peace. Because to be carnally minded is to be an enemy of God. When you're carnally minded, not only are you not obeying God's law, but you cannot obey God's law. And Paul's conclusion from all of this comes in verse 8. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Jesus came to condemn sin so that we could be changed, because those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That's why we had to be changed. That's why Jesus had to come as our representative, so that we could be changed. Because if you go on living according to the flesh, thinking in a natural way, you can't please God. So, let's go through it again. But this time, I'm going to do it different. We're going to go backwards. Start with verse 7 and 8 and then work back. And I think that'll maybe help us to be sure that we've been tracking with Paul. This is Paul answering the question, how, in what way, is Jesus the answer to the problem that every Christian battles with? How is Jesus the answer to the problem of the flesh? Verses 7 and 8. The mindset of the flesh is hostile to God. The mindset of the flesh, the way we think by nature, the mindset we're born and brought up with, the way everybody around us thinks, it's hostile to God. Doesn't submit to God, it can't submit to God, and it can never please God. Verse 6, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So we've got to be spiritually minded. Not to be spiritually minded is death. We must be spiritually minded, verse 5, and we must live according to the Spirit, and verse 4, and that's why Jesus came, so that we might walk or live according to the Spirit, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So do you see? Jesus came. He had to come so that you could be born again, so that you could have a new nature, so that you could have a Spirit indwelt and empowered by the Holy Spirit, so that you could have a spiritual mindset, so that you could walk in the Spirit, so that you could have life and peace which the flesh could never give you. Jesus came, he had to come, so that you could be born again. See how Paul's answered coming together. You see how and in what way Jesus is the answer to this problem that we all battle with, the problem of the flesh. He's the answer because he came so that we could have a new nature, so that the Spirit could be born in us. Now, Paul's not done with this answer yet. He's got more to say, and we'll go on to that in a couple of weeks' time, God willing. But for now, just in closing, let's get practical and focus on what I think is the main thought in these verses. We so desperately need to have the mindset of the Spirit, don't we? There's only death without it. If we can't have the mindset of the Spirit, we can never please God. And Jesus came to be our representative and lived and died so that we could have that mindset. So I've got a question for you to take away and think about this week. What is your mindset? What motivates you? What drives you? What is it that shapes your attitudes and your beliefs? What determines the choices you make? What dominates your thoughts? What is it that sets the direction of your life? Do you think in the same way as the people all around you think? Do you base your decisions and your choices and your values on the same values that they base their decisions and choices on? Do you base your thinking on worldly values? Do the same things matter to you that matter to all the other people around you? Do you have the mindset of the flesh? Or do you have the mindset of the spirit? Do God's values and God's laws determine the choices you make? Is your thinking and your whole way of life molded by God's word? And are you guided by His Spirit? What's your mindset? Is it the mindset of the flesh or the mindset of the Spirit? Because Jesus came and lived and died so that you could have a spiritual mindset. And you need to have a spiritual mindset. Are you cultivating that spiritual mindset? Are you cultivating a spirit-led, spirit-filled disposition of heart and mind? Are you feeding that spiritual mindset? What are you putting into your head, Christian? The way you think will determine the way you live. The way you live will determine and influence the way you think. So, what is it that you're exposing your mind to? What is it that you're feeding your mind with? Where do you go to? What are the places you go to? What is it that you watch on television, the films you watch? What do you read? What do you talk about? What kind of company do you spend most of your time in? You see, if you read nothing but newspapers and novels and watch nothing but silly, pointless entertainment, or even just fill your head with pointless knowledge to satisfy idle curiosity, if you spend most of your time with unbelievers, you're never going to maintain a spiritual mindset. You're feeding your mind with the wrong stuff. You put the wrong stuff in, what's going to be in there will be the wrong stuff, and what's going to come out will be the wrong stuff. Which mindset are you feeding? Now, don't take me wrong. I'm not saying to cut yourself off from the world. Can't do that. You've got a mission. You've got a task to fulfill, to take the good news of Jesus Christ to that world. Don't forget that. And to take the news to the world, you've got to be in it. You have to be with unsaved people. You have to love them, and you have to love them genuinely, and you have to be interested in the things that they are interested in, genuinely interested. You have to get involved with them. You have to read the papers and watch the news. You have to have things in common with the world. You have to have things to talk about with them. Otherwise, you're going to be a boring old twit, and that doesn't bring any honour to God. You have to study to acquire knowledge, knowledge that has very little or nothing to do with anything spiritual. You have to do that to get qualifications and to be able to do your job well. And there is even a place, I think, for enjoying pointless entertainment and reading novels, because you can't be serious all the time. You would drive yourself nuts, and if you didn't, you'd drive the rest of us nuts. But you have to feed and maintain a spiritual mindset. And you know, it is no wonder that so often we think and act in fleshly ways, because we constantly feed the mind of the flesh and starve the mind of the spirit. And if you're serious about walking in the spirit, if you're serious about overcoming sin and winning that battle with the flesh, you have got to feed your mind with spiritual food. You've got to. Not just once a week. Not even once a day will be enough. You have got to fill your mind with spiritual food at every possible opportunity. You've got to spend time with God. It's not easy, but that's not an excuse. You've got to make time. You've got to plan for it. There's got to be time for prayer. There's got to be time in His Word. Studying it, not just reading it quickly and glancing over it. It's studying it until it influences and dominates your thinking. There's got to be time for reading spiritual books and then thinking deeply and at length about spiritual things. You have to have time with God's people. I'm seriously concerned that there's a tendency these days to only meet with other believers when it suits, when it fits in around other things. And some of you I know aren't here even once a week. Now, don't take that wrong. I'm not concerned about numbers. And I'm definitely not insensitive to the pressure some of you have to live with. And I know there's no rule in the Bible that says you must be in church even once a week. But I'm concerned for you. What is it you're feeding your mind with? How much time are you spending with God's people? How much time are you spending in places where that spiritual mind is going to be fed, nourished, built up? You have to have time with God's people, building relationships within which the Spirit can be fed. And there has to be time in spiritual conversation that will balance all that time you spend talking about the things of the flesh. Otherwise, the flesh will take over, and the mindset of the flesh is death. You have to be out there in the world. We all do. We have a mission to fulfill. We have good news for a lost, dark world. But how are you counteracting the world's influence on you? When it does influence you, and it inevitably does, you can't live in this world without being influenced by it. How do you pull yourself back into that spiritual mindset? Who do you have to help you to pull back into that spiritual mindset? Mindset of the Spirit. Jesus came, lived, and died to give you that mindset. Shouldn't you be careful to maintain it? And if you're not saved, you need to have that mindset too. You need it. You need that mindset because, as Paul tells us here, without it, you can't please God. Ask the Lord to save you. Ask Him to cause you to be born again. And to give you a new heart and a new mind and a new spirit. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this passage from your word. We need to cultivate a spiritual mindset. We need to not be natural people, but to be supernatural people. Help us to consider what we are doing to feed that spiritual mind. Help us, Lord, to be much in your word, much in the company of your people. And help us, Father, to be careful of the company we keep, that we don't become unduly influenced or led or controlled by it.